Welcome to another episode of How to Watch a Movie as a Christian. My name's Riley.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Ben.
How to watch The Last of Us as a Christian. Now, Josh is here because he's our resident Last of Us expert. So, Josh, give us a little bit of an intro to The Last of Us.
So The Last of Us is Naughty Dog's take on a zombie apocalypse post-pandemic world that follows the character of Joel Miller and Ellie Williams as they move across country for, well, reasons that
you, no spoilers.
Either,
no spoilers.
You either have to watch the show or no play spoilers. The game. I'm a no spoiler zone here.
You've played the game?
I've played many hours of the game, yes.
Have you played through the game multiple times?
Five or six times, yes.
No.
Yes. Wow.
Why?
The story's so good, and I'm not going to lie, the violence is just the right amount of brutal.
Interesting. Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Is this like, for video game players, is this like The Office?
You know,
I
think if you like zombie games, yeah.
Okay.
Like that kind of stay alive, survive.
I think anyone that's watched the podcast for any length of time will know I've not played this.
Yes, and nor have I. So Ben and I are here. PJ's over there.
Hi.
And PJ's also played through the game, but we haven't, so we wanted you to be here. Oh, here he comes.
I have also played it probably five or six times.
Whoa.
Some people do their annual Lord of the Rings or Star Wars or whatever watches. That's what they prioritize. I prioritize at least once a year. I play through the whole thing of The Last of Us.
And part one or two?
The Last of Us Part Two as well.
Oh,
don't touch my hand.
Goodness.
And so, gosh, I love it. And I love the show. And I'm going to go now.
Okay. Thank you.
Go now.
Wow.
Josh, when was the first time you discovered this or played it? Or
gosh, I think when I got my PlayStation, I'd been Xbox forever and decided I'm going to go to PlayStation, and that was one of the first games outside of that and Uncharted that I got, and I was blown away by the storytelling.
So you were playing that, Crash Bandicoot,
yes.
Toon Cars,
yep.
And Last of Us.
Last of Us, yes.
That's cool.
Cool
now,
mix.
We're reviewing this because it just came out as a show.
Mm-hmm.
Episode one dropped.
Kind of a show. It's kind of a movie.
Why do you say that?
I mean, I don't want to get into it, but it is an hour and a half long, so I feel like it's
right.
Very warranted for us to review it almost as a movie.
Almost as a movie in length, but it is serialized.
And it had its beginning and end, you know. Mm-hmm. It was crafted well as one story. I'm kind of looking at it as a series of movies, though. They're just
okay.
So long. I don't
They're
know.
So long.
I don't want to get into the difference between a movie and a show. But this is kind of a movie.
If I walked out of the theater, I'd go, when was the end going to come? But then if I found out it would be part of a series, then I go, oh, makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. Well, The Last of Us, like Josh said, is like Naughty Dog, the creator's
mm-hmm.
Attempt at the zombie apocalypse. Now, we wanted to review this because, well, first of all, it's getting hype.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it getting so much hype, Josh?
They did such an amazing job of adapting the game into a show. And the story is so phenomenal. It's story-driven that there's a lot of hype that this would be a great game to make into a show. The story's already
because
there.
Because it's already... That's everything I've ever heard about this, even before a show was announced, was you got to play this, and here's why. The story, the characters, the cutscenes. It's like watching one of the best movies on
yes.
top of playing one of the best games.
PJ
yes.
told me that when he plays it, now correct me if I'm wrong here, P, but you cried watching
you cried?
It because it was so emotional. Every time, he says.
What
so
about,
it's like
now that
something.
You have a daughter, what's it like?
So the first year of my daughter's life, I played part two, so it was a little bit of a different experience.
Mm.
But just recently, preparing for the show, I played The Last of Us with my wife alongside of me. She didn't want to play it herself because she's too terrified, but we played it in this. I'm going to spoil the first episode.
First episode. Yeah.
So when Sarah dies, while Joel is holding her in his arms,
I cried.
Crushed me. And I knew
daughters
eight times over what was going to happen. Exactly.
You didn't cry.
I cried. Whoa. I did.
And it crushed me. And I think the video game did it even better. And that says a lot because I thought the show was great. But man, it just... there's so much that I want to say that I can't say, but just know that it's going to be a ride, baby.
Wow.
So I think that we all can say we enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, what about you? You hate horror.
I do.
So were you terrified? Or?
Oh, man. I was so scared. I watched it alone, which made it even scarier. Because Hannah couldn't take this at all. Love you, hon. She, even talking about it, she was getting freaked out. And it's, but it was just too good. I mean, I kind of like being scared just a little bit. I can't handle it, but I do kind of enjoy it.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask about, because I know it's a take on zombies, but I didn't find it to be horrifying.
Oh, that was horrifying.
And I was listening to an interview with the creators, especially the game creator, who said that this is a survival action game, not a survival horror game. Is that correct, Josh?
That is correct.
Because it's not... I didn't find that... I knew there were scary elements in the show, and especially the first 20 minutes, which had nothing scary, but it was very tense.
Okay, the horror scene was when... what's the daughter's name?
Sarah.
She's in her neighbor's house, and over the shoulder you see grandma... That was horrifying.
That was good.
That was actually like classic horror movie.
Yeah.
Oh!
Now, we've talked about horror, and I wanted to kind of bring up a point. Now, this is outside of the show. It's part of an interview I listened to with the creators. The creator of the game said that the goal of this series, or the goal of the game and then the goal of the show, the goal is to show how love is horrifying. That's what they say. Love is horrifying. So when you run into people doing horrible things, terrifying things, scary things, murderous things, they are usually motivated by love. Love of their own kin, their own tribe, their own city, or whatever. So if you come in as an outsider, as a threat, they will kill you, destroy you, vanquish you, etc. Why? Because they love. And that's the thematic exploration. Is that accurate? Because that's what they said.
Yes, I would say that's very, I mean, it's what drives Joel and has sort of turned Joel into the man that he is something so traumatic as losing his daughter in a very violent way that happens. And losing his daughter he lost the filter of...
Right.
Sort of that humanity, that, you know, the ability to love. And it sets him on this road of, I mean, violence and doing whatever it takes to survive. But that through the show and the game, you realize that no, he didn't really lose that.
He gets it back.
He gets it back. And from the very beginning of the game, I think it's very clear that he's even worried about it.
You see a glimpse of that in episode one, and there's beautiful parallelism as a visual storytelling going on, where at the beginning of the show, the outbreak happens, and Joel shows up to clobber the crazy old lady who's possessed with the fungus. He clobbers her in the face with a wrench, and Sarah, the daughter, is standing to the side going,
horrified. Yeah.
Terrified.
And there's a parallel scene at the very end when Ellie is under threat by the dude with the gun.
Fedra agent, yep.
The Fedra agent. And Joel has a traumatic PTSD episode where he's remembering the trauma of the past, and he attacks this dude, beats him to death, and it cuts to Ellie, who also is off to the side watching this brutal killing. But her reaction is not like Sarah's. It's this own thing where she's like... fired up about it. You know what I mean? And so you see they're sowing seeds of parallelism where Ellie is almost a replacement for Sarah, a new daughter for Joel, but a very different daughter. Not scared, not timid, not shy, but like fierce. She stabs a dude in the leg and all that stuff. So is that part of how it will play out? Like Joel gets to know this different young girl and that restores him to it?
One of the interesting things, and I think PJ will agree with this, is that he fights it for a very, very, very long time.
He fights his attachment?
He fights the idea that she could be a replacement.
Oh.
And then there's something, there's some, there's a crack in the armor, if you will, and he just bonds with her, and it turns into that thing that you're talking about.
Now, this is definitely my favorite show that features Pedro Pascal traveling from location to location with a little child.
Yeah,
she's totally. Grogu part two.
Grogu part two. If you didn't know, Pedro Pascal plays the Mandalorian.
Spoilers.
But here's what I want to talk about. As a Christian, there's a theme here that I think is interesting, that love has a horrifying element to it, that it is out of love that we do terrible things. Terrible in the sense of terrifying or terribly, there's a terrible potential. Like as a dad who's got a daughter, what would you do for your daughter?
Yeah, anything.
Would you kill for your daughter?
No. Obviously that anything is no, I wouldn't. But yeah, what would I do for my daughter? I actually know. I don't know what I'd do. That's probably the scary part.
Yeah, that is the scary part. I think it's easy to say I would do this, but who knows what you would do. And I think that's the point, is that the horror is what would happen if my family was threatened.
Yeah, you put yourself in that position. Your daughter died 20 years later. You have this new person. He would never expected that he would snap and murder some guy.
Yeah.
But it's out of the love that he has somewhere deep inside of him for his daughter.
They have this is different from the game to my understanding, but in the middle of the episode, there's another visual storytelling where the kid wanders into Fedra, but he's infected. He hasn't shown any symptoms yet, but he is. And so there's a girl who's part of the team that disposes of those bodies, and she says to Joel, I can't do it, it's a little kid. And Joel does it. And so that's a symbol, it's a visual symbol of how far dead he has gotten when it comes to loving a child. He's so dead inside that he's the one who could easily dispose of this little body.
A fantastic addition to the story.
Yeah,
I think fantastic.
A great piece of like visual storytelling that's very different than a game, because they had to change. That's the kind of thing you have to change. In a game, you can have the player, kind of go do certain things and discover things that way. But in a film, you have to sit back and watch the character make choices, and those choices have to be visually representative of what's going on in his heart, right? And so that's a beautiful way of showing how dead he is. And how Ellie will awaken something later. So here's my question. The biblical theme here is that love is kind of the bigger virtue, and underneath love are these subsidiary virtues. And one of them is wrath. So the Bible says God is love, right? We all know this. 1 John 4:8, God is love. And the Bible also says that God is full of wrath, full of anger, full of indignation against what? Injustice,
evil.
Sin. So God is love, and he is full of wrath, but the Bible never says that God is wrath. And the reason for that is because wrath is a subsidiary of love. It's a side effect. When you love something, you are wrathful about anything that violates that thing. So you love your daughter, you would be wrathful, and righteously so, against anything that threatens her well-being, right?
Yeah.
In the same way, God is love. He loves the world, and he is full of wrath at anything that threatens to destroy it, which is why he's so angry with sin and injustice and wickedness, okay? Mm-hmm. And this helps a lot of, this needs to be said and re-said because a lot of people think, why does God care so much? Why is he so angry? Why is, what's with judgment? That I don't like that. It's like, well, it's because, I mean, you're judgmental.
Yeah.
You're judgmental.
Well, Psalm 23 paints a good picture of that. It says, your rod and your staff, ouchie, ouchie, they comfort me. And it's that picture of a shepherd taking care of his sheep. A shepherd not only tends and loves it, but he carries a staff to defeat and kill animals that are going to eat the lamb, to correct, of course. But there's this, your rod and your staff, I see the tools of judgment. They comfort me.
Yeah.
I know that you love me because I know you would pour out wrath on something that is going to hurt me.
Yeah.
It's a good picture of that.
So it sounds like, and maybe Josh, you can speak to this, it sounds like that's one of the main themes, is an exploration of how far love will go to express in angry ways. Is that true?
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, you'll see the progression throughout the show of their relationship, but his ability to process the love that he had for Sarah and also processing the love that he has and what he's willing to do for Ellie. And I think the adding of the scene where he pummels the Fedra agent in front of Ellie is a great add to say that he's willing to protect anyone that falls in his sphere that he could care for, which I think right there you go, this is a violent act. This is a horrendously violent act. But even though he's going to keep Ellie at distance, there's something internal in him that goes, they're in my sphere. There's something here that is worthy, and I'm going to act out in this way to protect something that I will eventually learn to love with my whole heart. But I think there's just the fact that they're about the same age. They're, you know, they're kids, and he goes, okay, that little flashback, that little snap, he goes, okay, I'm going to defend this violently.
Yeah, it seems like there's going to be a lot of things that he, I don't know anything about the game or.
Neither do I.
But it seems like, he didn't know, he probably didn't know that he would result to murder of that agent.
Fedra agent. I mean, they were kind of buddying up.
They were.
Earlier in the episode.
So I think maybe even more, there's going to be him finding out the lengths that he would go in terms of just his own body. You could imagine like what he would do, what things he would climb or what things he might lift, you know. Mm-hmm. You hear the stories about kids being trapped under a car and people like picking up cars. You know, I think there is this like, not only what you would do up here, like, would you kill for your daughter? You know, impossible question to answer. At least it should be hard. And what actually can you accomplish when you're full of love and anger or fear, you know, after someone? I know that my instincts catch in when, you know, my son Walt falls off the couch or something. It's totally Spider-Man. I'm like, Ur! I didn't know I had that in me. So I'm excited to see. It seemed like there's some pretty creepy zombies coming up, and I'm excited to see what this turns into in terms of, I'm assuming, the killing of them.
Yeah.
the bloodbath.
The bloodbath that is killing clickers and runners and stalkers.
Hey, no spoilies. What does that mean? Don't tell me.
We've talked about how horror, the genre, kind of gets to the very depths of the human experience, right? Mm-hmm. It drives you to that end. So that question, would you kill for love? Impossible question. Let's make a show about it. You know what I mean? It's like, let's explore it in this medium. And that's kind of the point, right? And I think that, you know, as Christians, we're watching this and there's a couple of things that stick out to me thematically. So maybe you guys want to comment on it. But, you know, how far would you go for love, wrath and anger and indignation being a subsidiary of love? All that's true. But at the same time, those kinds of violent acts can also be a subsidiary of misplaced love.
Yeah.
And this is why the Bible speaks of sin in terms of idolatry, because idolatry is when you love the wrong God. Right. And when we place our love not for idols, but instead for the Lord Jesus, what ends up happening is you have that same love that is also wrathful, but you are wrathful at the things he is wrathful about, right? Instead of being wrathful against things that he actually loves. And that's why in Jesus you have a God who is wrathful, but he's also merciful, and he's also graceful, and so therefore, will God kill for love? Yes, he will put himself on the cross. Why? Because he died not just for Joel and Ellie, but he died for the Fedra agent. And so instead of pummeling sinners to death, he pummels himself to death, right? Because love is wrathful, and yet he is also merciful. So it's, do you see what I'm saying? Like, and I feel like the journey of Joel is going from that like misplaced love that's full of anger and bitterness and obviously trauma to, I guess what I'm excited to see is like, how does it, and when I heard that the story was about this, I was like, oh, that's going to be really cool to see him healed and restored to a kind of a whole love.
Dare I venture into this, but there is this kind of like when Paul talks about our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the evil principalities. You are kind of like, if I'm drawn to these conclusions, the zombies, they're a universal evil for all of us human people, but there's still violence between people in the show. There's corruption. They even talk about outside of the walls. You don't know what's out there. There are evil people doing evil things. And I've always thought that with every video game show. It's like, what are you doing? You know, there's an actual evil out here. So it brings up the theme of like, what's being celebrated? Is violence being celebrated here? You know, should we watch this? Is it just full of violence? But I think it will venture into that, what you're saying, this growth, character growth in him, of him protecting her from evil and from these zombies that are attacking humankind itself, yeah, and not resulting to murder. I could see that first episode being, hopefully I'm not wrong here, a low point. You know, he killed a guy. Hopefully there's no more of that.
I feel like there probably is.
Oh, yeah. And I will say, for those that are listening and you've played the game, and if you're following this theme...
You're just rolling your eyes at us right now?
No. It's great. I love the hypothesis. You're going to see Joel go from one end of the spectrum to another.
Oh.
And you're going to see...
What does that mean?
Oh, no spoilers here, but you're going to see...
What does it mean, PJ?
You're going to see the... You're going to see what love can do, but also what misplaced love can do.
Okay.
And I think one of the important things to know watching this show is that you can't look at these characters as heroes. They're not heroes. They're anti-heroes. You know, they're not your typical...
Explain that.
Well, they're real people who do real things. Joel, by no stretch of the imagination, by the time we get into the story, is what you would consider a good dude. He's a smuggler. It's very clear that he's killed countless people. He doesn't necessarily feel bad about it. And he's doing what it takes to survive. So I think in any apocalyptic story, post-apocalyptic story, your heroes are more akin to anti-heroes, where they don't have this strong moral compass of good. They're real. You know, so when I say that, it's a way of saying it's actually they're real people dealing with real issues. How would they act in this situation? You know, a hero would go, well, I would never kill that person, even if they were going to hurt this thing. You know, it's the whole Batman Joker kind of
Batman's Superman kind of code of ethics.
The code of ethics. And here, they find themselves breaking their code of ethics all the time. And one of the themes you will see, and hopefully they carry it through with Ellie in the game, is when she realizes what she's capable of, it bothers her. And that becomes a big theme throughout, because you're put into situations where you have to break, Joker says to Batman, you have to break your one rule. That's the one rule you'll have to break.
That sounds really compelling.
Yeah.
And I think like this kind of goes against what you were saying, which is like these zombies are, they're the principalities and cosmic powers. And I was like,
nope,
I don't know.
Nope.
And this is something like I loved about The Walking Dead is that the early seasons is that they explored that gray area where these evil beings, they're human, actually possessed by a disease. But, you know, when you're popping off clickers or walkers or whatever it is, you're killing human people. Zombie stories, I remember reading some Christian article years ago about zombie stories being rooted in the occult and stuff like that. And I go, No, no, wrong. Zombie stories are quite simple. It's a hypothesis. It's a thought experiment. What would you do if society was reduced to its basest desire? Survival, tribalism, removal of all technology, and how would that affect morality, mm-hmm. ethics? How does the image of God factor in if they're possessed by fungal diseases and stuff like that? This is compelling stuff. I just think it's interesting.
And I think to tie into some of the stuff you were talking about, the lengths that we were willing to go, just having watched the final season of The Walking Dead, there's a moment where Negan and Maggie have a conversation, and she's wants to kill him because, you know, he killed her husband and brought so much grief onto the communities. And he's really, truly changed from the person that he was in the earlier seasons. And he explains to her, you have to understand that I had people that I had to tell their loved ones aren't coming home because you attacked the thing. You attacked our base. And she says, well, would you have done anything different? And he says, yeah, I would have killed you all. And you realize that he's speaking out of an area of protection, that to protect his people, knowing what he knows now, he had to remove all the threats. And I think that for people that care for people or people that are posed with these situations, what would you do to protect your family, your clan, your people? What is it that you would do? Going to the tribalism, going to these post-apocalyptic stories, it's rooted in our base things of, I don't know what I would have to do, like Ben, like you say, but I have to be prepared to do whatever I need to do in the moment.
Yeah. And this story, if I'm like remembering part of it, it's less of a kill all the zombies then and more of a save all the people, because she's got that bite mark and she's infected, but she's not sick. Mm-hmm. So she's got something. So maybe it's not let's go kill everyone, but let's
save.
We're actually going to, I could see it being, I'm going to actually kill people in order to save the infected people. And that is very interesting. Mm-hmm. That's a do whatever at all costs. And it does bring into question, I'm going to kill non-infected people to save infected people going forward. That's interesting.
I think that it's interesting that zombie and post-apocalyptic stories, from my understanding of them, they rise out of an industrialized society. Mm-hmm. So we tell a post-apocalyptic stories because we are hyper-modern in the way we live. And we are curious about ancient tribal living. What was it like to live in the Iron Age? You know what I mean? Because basically the way they live in these stories, it's kind of how it was in the Iron Age, because you had tribes, you had hyper-protective, we call it xenophobic, they called it survival. You see what I mean? There are these elevated virtues that we have, such as like equality and all this stuff, that when you tear out all of the modernity and all of the industry and luxury, you're kind of left without that stuff. And so the question is, now you can see what it's like for Moses to stand on a mountain and to deliver to an Iron Age people a law that says treat immigrants with equality. Whoa. And that's why the law of Yahweh was so radical and is still hard to follow today, is because even in our modern life today, we have a hard time transcending our base desires. And going, actually, there's this kind of sacrificial love, this sort of transcendent truth, and that's kind of beyond all that. That's what I find interesting in all these kinds of stories.
Yeah, so as disciples and movie lovers, how are we watching this thing? What are we going in with?
How about you, Josh?
I think the same way I played the game is going, what are we going to discover? What is the good? What is the bad? And, you know, I know by... okay,
no,
I can't
spoilers,
say what I'm
no
saying. Because it's
constantly
spoiler,
like,
it's spoiler
please
rich.
Don't.
It's spoiler rich.
You don't know what I'm capable of.
You don't know
if
what
you
I'm capable of.
Spoiled this show for
you,
me.
You don't know what I'm capable of in terms of spoilers. Hello. But I'm going into this watching and looking for the relationship between Ellie and Joel. I think it's the same thing I was looking for in the game, and how they interact with the world and really the way they cling to one another in just utter desolation, you know, and the good that they find within each other, and how that the back and forth that's played through that.
That's
and
good.
I'm just ultimately looking for that. Give me that last episode already.
No.
Give me that last episode already.
I'm excited for the last episode when he delivers her and then Luke comes to train her.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be cool.
I'm excited for when Joel finally takes his mask off.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward, especially like a lot of what we're talking about is these kinds of stories provide like a thought experiment. And every story, I think like one of the first ones was Day of the Triffids. I read that book 2 years ago or so. And that same thing. It's like these stories just kind of put you in a place like, what would you do? Would love still be possible? Would truth still be something you do? You know what I mean? Like, and would you kill? Would you not? Like, what is right? What is wrong? Right?
I would die. Very fast.
You'd be like, I'm not going to kill, and then just immediately get eaten.
I'd be really excited for the cure, I guess.
I would kill for you.
Really?
A clicker.
Oh.
I don't know,
actually. Watch yourself here. Don't kill for me.
Okay.
I'd kill for both of you up until a bullet, or then you're on your own.
Would you kill him for me, and would you kill me for him?
No.
Oh.
I don't know. I can't say what I would do.
Which of us would you throw to a bloater?
Who are you going to kill?
Depends on what you say to me and how I feel in the moment, I guess.
That's me.
This has been How to Watch The Last of Us as a Christian. I think we all liked it. We're super stoked.
Super stoked.
Awesome. We are Pacific Parable, and we will see you at church. Thank you.